Welcome to the Mystic Access Podcast, where the magic is in learning.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the March 5th episode of the Mystic Access Podcast. She's Kim.
He's Chris.
And we've got things to talk about today, which are kind of interesting, and just a couple of reminders, and, you know, we're going to do this kind of stuff. So, the first thing that we're going to talk about is online chats.
Yes, we've had a couple of experiences over the last week or so with online chats. Now, those of you who are as old as we are, might be thinking, oh no,
not an online chat.
Yeah.
And we're talking specifically support chats.
Yes.
So you go to a website, you chat them up, you talk to a robot first, hopefully you don't, and you get your issues resolved.
Yes.
So, as some of you know, we were talking about our phone and locking ourselves out of our phones. Well, the saga continues because there are sites still where old phone numbers are still there.
And, unfortunately, one of these was our Ecobee, our thermostat.
So, you can't get into your account unless you have your phone, two-factor authentication.
Now, in our case, both of us were still logged into our Bee, so we could change things, but what happens if we get logged out? We got problems.
Right. Let's say I couldn't get a phone, or if I got a new phone, I couldn't log into the app using that phone. So I figured, what the heck, I will chat Ecobee.
And he had tried to call them once before.
And I was on hold for an hour where I promptly hung up.
Yeah, he couldn't do it anymore. He had to go do other things and was like, that's the end of that. So yesterday, and we're recording this on a Sunday, but yesterday he decided to call them. So it was a weekend and it was the afternoon on a Saturday.
Right. But I chatted them instead of calling them this time. So I'm waiting in the chat and finally somebody answers. And the cool thing is that the chat's all read with voiceover without having to do anything spectacular. So the chats were automatically reading his responses, my responses, the fact he was typing. All that good stuff was reading. And to make a long story short, we did manage to get the two-factor authentication turned off because I was able to provide him with personal information that he needed to prove that I was who I said I was in order to see what happened. And everybody was happy. 2FA got turned off. I was able to log into the account, reactivate 2FA with the correct number, and everybody's happy, including me.
Yes, and you didn't have to go looking for those chats as they came in, did you?
No.
They just read.
I did look for them because I was doing stuff like that, but we were able to get it resolved. You know, if you missed the chat, you missed a chat. Like if he sent a message and then he quickly sent another message, the speech might have interrupted and read the last message. So then you'd have to go back and look for the previous message. But other than that, it was a real dream to listen to those chats. I did that the other day on a couple of other different websites, and the chats were also perfect. Verizon, for example, you know, we call them up when we see them. Spectrum was also another one that read very decently as well. So the chats of yesteryear, where you couldn't do chats because they weren't really that accessible, or you had to do mouse manipulation in order to read the chats, hopefully those are a thing of the past.
The thing that we're finding so often with chats now is that it's much more quick and efficient to chat than make a phone call. It just doesn't take as long. Now, some people like that voice-to-voice contact, but what we were finding in these instances was it was just a very fast, seamless process. It wasn't necessarily something where we needed a transcript. Not every chat offers you that, although some do, and you can print your transcript of your chat. But it just depends on what it is. For instance, yesterday I had to do a chat as well to Philo, because I had a login issue. And I talked to the guy. He understood exactly what I needed to do. And he sent me two codes to fix my issue. One to a phone number, one to an email address. I was able to verify those two codes for him. And he fixed my issue for me. And again, chat read. In fact, it had audible prompts. So when a message came in, it made a little sound. Which is
right.
Really cool.
Yes.
There was even a thing in my chat where you could mute and unmute those sounds. And you could also change the font to make the chat super accessible.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So it's just a really good experience. They're so much more pleasant now to deal with chats. And in fact, in many instances, like Philo, for instance, at least to my knowledge, they may have a phone number, but generally a lot of places strictly have email and chat. They don't offer phone numbers. So you chat or you email.
The next thing that we're going to talk about is doorbells. So, Kim, we had an issue with our Ring doorbell recently.
We did.
I managed to fix it, but irregardless. And we've had this conversation before. And basically what happened is the Ring front doorbell decided that it was too cold outside. And so what happened was, is sometimes if your doorbell gets too cold, it could lock up. So it wasn't working for a couple days. And I did a little bit of research and I reset the doorbell with a little button that's underneath the front faceplate. You remove the front faceplate, you press the button until the light turns, whatever. I pressed it for about 15, 30 seconds, let it go, and the doorbell came online. But we're going to try an experiment. The experiment is, as far as a blindness perspective, is a Ring versus Google Nest. So, one thing that Google Nest has that Ring does not is they call it familiar faces. So you can add familiar faces to your doorbell or your Google cameras.
You can't upload them. They must have been taken by your camera.
Right. So you can't go find somebody down the street, take their picture, and upload it to your camera. They have to have been seen by your camera first.
Nor can you go into your photos library and find somebody that way,
right.
Unfortunately.
Right. And the reason that she says unfortunately is because her parents live 700 miles away.
They do.
And they may not be in front of this camera for a long time.
Yep.
So what you would do is you'd put people's faces in that you know, and it's supposed to announce using Google Home who the person is. The other thing that it does, I do believe, because I believe I saw this on a YouTube video, is it will tell you how many people are there.
Why is this so important to you?
Because if somebody rings your bell and there's two people out there and you answer the door, you know at least there's two people out there instead of just one, mm-hmm. Which is kind of cool. Now, there may be people who don't like facial recognition for whatever reason.
There are places in which it's illegal.
There are. Illinois, for example, you can't use the familiar faces feature in Illinois. It just won't let you do it. Also, you can't use this feature unless you have a subscription to Google Nest Aware, which is kind of an interesting concept. So what we want to know is, will this announce notifications like a motion alert or people detection without touching the bell?
I say no. Just based on the things I've watched. Again, this is something where Chris and I have had the conversation about this because we've talked for a long time about the Google ecosystem and changing our doorbell over and changing our cameras over, which is an expensive proposition, something we have held off on doing. And I said, a lot of people don't care about the reasons we want this doorbell because what you would do is you would turn on announcements for your doorbells and announcements for your cameras. Say you've got a floodlight camera or whatever. And then they would announce something. But I don't think they're going to announce all this stuff. Animal detected, person detected, two people detected. I don't necessarily see it. Because you would be driven mad if you had the opportunity to turn that on in your Google Home. Because that's where all these things work. They work through your Google Home to announce.
Which you should have the ability to have things announced should you want to. The Ring stuff announces things. It'll say motion detected and the location of the camera. It'll say someone is detected, but it doesn't tell you someone's, you know, more than
much
one.
Much less who the someone is.
Right. And you can, as a sighted person that has things turned off, maybe you as a sighted person do not want your Alexa devices announcing that kind of stuff. You get a notification on your phone and you're happy. So what we've done or are going to do as of the recording of this podcast is pick up a Google Nest doorbell and we're going to unbox it. We're going to see what it does. We're going to put it in our living room and we're going to have a doorbell in our living room for now.
For now, just for a few days. We're going to play with it. We're going to see how it behaves and whether or not it's worth it to us. Again, this is our opinion strictly, to change over our entire system.
Right.
We got our Ring doorbell fixed, as he said, but now we're having an issue with our back door. Again, this keeps happening.
Yeah, and it hasn't been really that cold for the back door. The back door was working yesterday. Now it is not working.
So we don't know what's going on exactly. Our Ring doorbell, by the way, is old.
Yes, they are at least 7 years old. I mean, that's a lot. It's old for electronics, but still, you know, it's an electronics doorbell. It should work. So we're not talking about replacing everything. We're talking about possibly replacing the front doorbell for now and see what this will announce.
What I don't like, and we've had this conversation too, about replacing just the front doorbell and not replacing most things, is that you're looking at multiple ecosystems, Ring versus Nest. And depending on what you have to do, like let's say, God forbid, somebody tries to break into your house and you call the cops. You've got two sets of videos now that you have to get and give the cops.
Sure, you do. And the way that the system is set up right now, if the front door detects motion, then the camera on the garage will start to record. So you do lose that kind of interoperability, if you will. So it's something to consider, it's something to think about. We had to also figure out if the familiar faces is even worth it.
That's not even the part, the more we talked about it, while that is cool, that's not even the part that we like the most. The sound is way better.
That's true.
On the Google.
Now, we've only listened to YouTube videos right. where people are demonstrating the sound. And for me, at least, the two-way talk on the Ring, I would have trouble hearing what the person was saying. This is on my own equipment. So it's just something to keep in mind. So the audio on the Google stuff seems to be a little bit better.
The other thing I don't like, though, about the Google is that if you're going to talk to them, you only have... Can you do it through the app at all?
Yeah, I believe so.
So if you can do it through the app, that's okay. But you can't do it through, say, you're just your Google Home speaker sitting there. It has to have a video component, which
right,
is dumb.
Right. And I think there was one I saw the other day where the guy said, but some of these are 6 years old.
Yeah, I don't listen to those for that reason. What did you say?
That he couldn't even talk to the doorbell or the camera using his video device. He could only see it.
Ooh.
One advantage to the Google is if you have them hardwired, which again is another expense, you would have to pay for it. Somebody to come in and restring your doorbell system or your camera system to have them run on power. But you can have them do 24-hour, 7 days a week for, I believe,
10 days
mm-hmm. of recordings, total recordings. You'd have to put some signs up that says something like, you know, you're going to be recorded if you are on this property type of thing. So that's just something to keep in mind. You're supposed to tell people that they are being recorded. The Ring camera on the garage, for example, says, hi, you are currently being recorded. So it lets you know that you may miss. We may miss that.
Yes.
So we'll see.
And the other negative, the final negative about this that would require assistance setting up is zones.
Sure. It has vehicle detection, animal detection, person detection. So the cool thing about it, at least to my understanding, is you could be told that there's a car in your driveway if a car pulls into your driveway, but the cars that are driving along the street, you won't know because you wouldn't have them in that zone. I wouldn't want to know what cars are passing by. That would just drive you completely nuts.
Mm-hmm. But somebody would have to set those zones up. You kind of draw the zones, I believe,
yes.
in the app.
Right. Which is no big deal because once they're set up, they're set up.
Yes, but you have to have the person to come do it.
Right, you do.
So in that instance, it is a big deal.
Right.
Because, you know, as any of you who have listened to us for any length of time know, we are a totally blind couple, and that's the way it is. So we don't have that assistance regularly at all.
Right. So we're going to try our best to even play with this thing and see if we can even set it up and play with it before doing anything else.
We have 30 days to return it if we don't like it.
Right.
Because we were going to buy it through Instacart and through one of the stores we have access to. We chose Amazon instead because it was cheaper.
Right.
So we're going to unbox and show you how this works.
So we have here the Google Nest doorbell.
Yes, we do.
We were just talking about.
It came in a little compact box. I'm a little amazed.
Feel this box.
Okay. Wow. Okay, guys, it's a little rectangle and it's skinny. It's probably 4 inches tall and maybe an inch wide. It's wild. Maybe 2 inches
wide. That's
just
an unopened box.
Yeah, maybe 2 inches wide.
We don't know what the thing looks like. Mm-hmm.
This is a battery doorbell, though, and it's a little bigger, we know, than the wired version of this doorbell. There are two iterations of the wired version. This is the second one. The second one is available now and is apparently still considerably smaller than the battery-operated one.
Right.
He's shaking it.
I'm shaking it to open it.
Open it up.
Oh, boy.
What does oh boy mean?
This will probably need some help. Here's the bell.
There's the button.
It's there at the bottom. I think the QR code is there. Okay, so now we've got that box, or the bell.
And the important thing is to be able to sit it in our living room and test. How big is this as compared to the Ring doorbell outside?
It's actually much longer. It's thinner, but it's longer. Here is the charger. It's a USB-C charger.
And here's where the charger goes on the back of this thing. There's the USB-C at the top on the back.
Mm-hmm. There's mounting plates. I hope that we can play with this. Here's mounting plates and brackets and all kinds of stuff. There's a back plate here for a corner. This is actually kind of cool. You put that in
that's
there.
That's neat, yeah.
For the corner.
And you can kind of see where it would go.
Right.
Back. Well, I don't know if that's the way, but that right there. Okay. And you can see what it would look like.
One of the disadvantages, I think, of this, mm-hmm. unless you get a anti-theft thing.
Oh, yeah.
Is
slide it straight out and take it home.
Somebody can take your doorbell home.
Absolutely. Because it's supposed to magnetize to something.
It's supposed to magnetize to one of these back ends, I think. At least the camera itself.
And we got the ivy green one. There are lots of different natural options available to purchase.
Right. Oh, look at this. Oh, how cute. It's a piece of cardboard. It's so that you can pre-do your stuff.
Nice.
I want to see this work.
And how do we do that exactly?
I don't know. I'm guessing you add a device.
Yeah, but wouldn't you have to turn it on in some way?
Probably. There's the USB cable. USB-C, which is nice. Open Google Home. Everything is done within the Google Home app.
Yes. There used to be a Nest app, but I think it is no more.
Automations, tab, tweak devices.
Go to devices.
Favorites.
Go to the bottom.
Button, garden, heading, devour, stopped, button, favorites, tab, add symbol, button, back. Closed button. Choose a device. Matter enabled device. App Google Nest or partner device. Add Nest device. Selected. Exit setup button.
So Nest device.
Choose home. Heading. You'll get selected. Princess's home.
Choose your home. Next button. Next.
More options button. Looking for devices. Heading.
Our home was selected. Now it says looking for devices.
So we'll see if it can.
I don't think it can see it straight out of the box. I don't know how one would have it see it.
Exit button. More options. But what are you setting up? Heading. Matter enabled device. Blinds button. Bridge button. Chromecast slash Google TV. Camera button. Display button. Doorbell button.
Doorbell
button. More options. But what are you setting up? Heading. Nest doorbell battery.
Yep.
Close button. Scan the QR code. Heading. Make sure it's steady and well. Find the code button. Don't set up without QR code. But find the code button. Exit button.
See if I can do this.
So he's looking for the QR code. You may know that. Button.
Finding the QR code. Heading. The QR code is on the back of your Nest doorbell and on the front of the Quick Start Guide.
Sometimes this is tedious, so it's on the back of the doorbell somewhere.
No QR code button. The QR code is on the back of your Nest doorbell and on the front of the Quick Start Guide.
Code.
Next button.
Let me see.
Back button. More options. New Nest doorbell battery. Heading. Continue button. Continue.
I think I found it.
Continue. Back button. More options. But by tapping I agree, you agree to the Google Device Policy
Guard.
No thanks. Button. I agree. Button. Back button. More options. Usage guidelines. Heading. Safety disclosure. By continuing, you agree to follow the placement guideline. Do not paint or place a cover on Google Nest doorbell, battery, or its base plate or wedge. To avoid risk of fire and shock, turn off power to the circuits powering your doorbell and charge during installation.
That's if you have a wired doorbell.
Power only from an existing installation NEC/EC Class 2 LPS source and wire in accordance with the national and regulatory installation codes. Ensure that Nest doorbell battery is powered by doorbell transformer of 8 to 24 VAC, 10 VA or above. Ensure that Nest doorbell battery is not connected to the house main power, such as 110 or 220 V. Be sure the charge cable and device are well ventilated when in use or charging. Tips: installing your doorbell Nest doorbell battery is weather resistant, but is not waterproof. Install in accordance with local building and installation regulations. Scroll down button. Scroll down button. Install in accordance with local building usage safety disclosure. I can do not hang or play to avoid risk of the power only from an existing installation NEC/TH202. Next button.
Oh, they made you scroll and read the rest of it. Next.
Back. More options. But privacy guidelines. Heading. You are responsible for making sure that the way you use Nest doorbell complies with the law, including any applicable privacy, data protection to better understand how Google handles data from your Nest doorbell. Red B. Frequently asked questions on the next button.
They're covering themselves?
Button. More options. But help improve Google Nest doorbell. Automatically. No thanks. Button. Yes.
I don't care.
Exit setup. Back. Button. More options. Plug in the doorbell indoors. Heading. Use a USB-C computer or tablet charger. You can also use the included cable with an adapter. Place the doorbell on its side to avoid scratching the camera lens during charging. The doorbell will chime and the light will turn white when it's connected to power. Once it pulses blue, leave the doorbell plugged in and continue to the next step.
Okay.
So it's actually walking us through the steps.
The steps. So now we got to figure out.
He's got to plug it in.
Where we're going to plug it in.
So Chris is now finding a home for it.
Yeah.
They don't want you to scratch the camera. So they say put it on its side.
But that's the only place with the USB-C port.
Yep.
At least that I found. I mean, it's a little bitty thing. There's only so many places a USB-C port can be hidden. And there's your chime.
There's your chime.
You guys may have been able to hear that chime. No. Chris will look at the...
One weather app switcher. Google Home active. Google Home next button. The doorbell will chime and the light will turn white when it's connected to power. Once it pulses blue, leave the doorbell plugged in and continue to the next step. Next.
Next.
More options button. Okay. Preparing your device. Heading. Preparing your device.
Preparing your device.
Trying to connect to an assisting Nest device. Heading. Connecting to joining device. Heading.
Wow. Okay. It's trying to connect to another device so it can get assistance.
Activity indicator. In progress.
I'm doing nothing.
What did it say?
Activity indicator progress.
From Netgear 30 button.
Okay.
Catus. Theo's elbow. Selected. Choose the Wi-Fi net. Selected. Aries button.
Look, it's already on Aries.
No, it's not really on Aries.
Well, it says selected Aries.
Got a list of...
But it selected Aries.
It did. Next. All right. Now.
Enter Wi-Fi Aries. Password.
So now we type in the password.
Password's in.
Selected. Cancel. Button. Connect. Button.
Connect.
Connected.
Connected.
Connected. Heading. Connected. For more options. Button. Finishing up. Heading. This could take a while.
This could take a while. So we continue to wait. And he's not...
Oh. Google Home, now. Nest Doorbell battery has joined your network. Go to the Google Home app for more information. Time sensitive.
Well, that was easy.
That was kind of cool. Something made a noise.
Noise, it made
somewhere.
A little sound. I think it was the doorbell over here.
Okay. I couldn't tell.
This could take connected. This could take a while.
So it's still doing whatever it's doing.
Finishing up. This could device ready.
Device ready.
This could take a while.
Well, it says device.
Getting your device ready. Heading. Haunted setup. Button. More options. Button. Where is this device? Heading. Choose a location. My rooms. Basement. Bathroom. Dining room. Family room. Front door. Garden. Button. Front door. Button. Selected. Front door. Garden. Guest bedroom. Guest room. Button.
It's a list of all your next places. I'd select next. Front door.
Selected. Front door. Button.
Okay. More options.
Downloading update. Heading.
Update.
Of course.
Gotta get the latest update.
Yeah. This doorbell might be running the first firmware.
We have no idea. We wait.
It's actually kind of cool. I think I'm going to like it.
You still updating?
I believe it's still updating.
Making progress. Making progress.
Making
okay,
progress.
Making progress.
Making progress.
Installing my new firmware for my thing.
And meanwhile, your doorbell is charging up, which is nice.
They do that so your doorbell powers up. Mm-hmm. That would be my guess. I can't believe that it made the same sound that Google Home speakers make. And it sounded pretty good from what I could tell just from that little boom boom.
More options. But what will your new doorbell use for power? Heading. The USB-C connector can only be used for recharging the battery. If you connect your Nest doorbell to your old doorbell wiring, be sure to use an 8-24 PAC transformer. Battery. Button.
Battery.
Selected. Battery. Wire terminals. Button. Not sure. Button. Next. Button.
Next.
Back. Button. Close. Close. Back. More options. How to install your battery-powered Nest doorbell wire-free. 5 minutes, 31 seconds. Video playback.
There's a video.
And how to play it.
Photo image made by Google. From Google by made by Google.
So there's a lot of videos you can watch.
Next.
We're just going to hit next.
Back button. More options. Button. Find a place for your doorbell. Heading. The wide angle lens of your doorbell's camera has a tall field of view. A height of 4 feet, 1.2 meters above the ground can help it see people and packages. If there's a wall blocking one side of the view, consider using the included wedge to angle your doorbell. Next. Button.
Okay.
More options.
If it goes where the ring is, it's probably okay.
Live. Open full screen camera video. Button. Unplug your doorbell and bring it outside to check the live video. Heading. Make sure it stays connected to Wi-Fi and has a good view. Consider whether you want to adjust the view with the included wedge. It may take a few minutes for the camera's light to turn green as it starts streaming. If it can't connect, you may need to move your router or Nest doorbell. Learn next button.
Interesting. It's already doing a live thing.
Next.
So we're just going to hit next.
More options. Do you want to use the included wedge? Heading. The 20-degree wedge can angle your camera's view to the left or right. You can go back to test out the view. If you plan to use familiar face detection, make sure your doorbell has a clear view of visitors' faces as they approach, and remember that the wide-angle lens of your doorbell's camera has a tall field of view. You'll attach the wedge to the wall first, then screw the base plate on top of the wedge. No button.
Probably not going to use the wedge. Okay.
More options. Button. Leave space for the release hole. Heading. Leave at least 1/4 and 5.7 centimeters of space above the doorbell to insert the release hole.
The release tool is very important, by the way. The release tool is the only way you can get the doorbell back off of the backing to charge it.
Right.
If you're going to charge the battery doorbell using just the USB.
Yep.
There are other ways.
More options. Button. The screw placement. Heading. Note that the doorbell won't work correctly without the base plate. If the wall is uneven, consider using the included spacer between the wall and the base plate. Next. Button.
So it's walking you through setup.
It is.
Back. Button. More options. Screw in the base plate. Heading. With a G upright, use the longer wall screws to attach the base plate to the wall. If necessary, use a 3/32" 2 mm bit for pilot holes. Don't over tighten the screws or bend the base plate. The base plate is necessary for the doorbell to work correctly. For hard surfaces like brick or stucco, you may need to use a 1/4" 6 mm masonry bit to drill holes first. Then use a mallet or hammer to insert the wall anchors. Don't use the anchors on wood or siding. Next, button. Back, button. More options. Attach the doorbell to the base plate. Heading. Put the circle at the bottom of the doorbell into the hole at the bottom of the base plate. Push the doorbell in, then downward until you hear a soft click.
Oh, it'll click.
Okay. Where is the doorbell?
The hole. There's a hole in the bottom, or the thing on the bottom that goes Where's in the hole base? On the base plate. You don't
have no. Lose it already?
This looks like it right here.
It probably is. Okay. So with the G facing up, which is probably that, I think this is the angled one. This is the back.
Pull on the doorbell to make sure it's clipped in. The release tool will release the latch at the top. Hook the circle at the bottom of the doorbell into the hole at the bottom of the base plate. Push the doorbell in, then downward until you hear a soft click. Attach the doorbell to the base plate. Heading. More options. Button.
Oh, wait. I think I see how you do it. I think it's spring-loaded and it kind of goes down like... Oop.
Google Home. Yeah. Doorbell. Front door. Time sensitive. Google Home. Yeah. Doorbell.
I think if I press down on it like that, it's going to lock into place.
Yeah, it probably is. And where's this release tool? I wonder if this thing still rings. It does not.
Oh, so you do have to have it in the...
You do have to have it like that. So we will have to make sure that release tool is in there. So what I don't understand is if this whole thing is screwed to the wall, how are people going to steal it? You got
to screw. You have to be able to pull the doorbell off to charge it.
Yes, but you're going to be leaving the back plate on the wall. You're using that tool, the release tool, to get the doorbell off the wall.
Next button.
Next.
Back button.
We're pretending like we got it.
Cast session started. Use the release tool if you need to remove the doorbell. Heading. Pull the doorbell and insert the release tool into the hole at the top. Once the doorbell pops up, pull it away from the wall.
Yep.
Next button.
Next.
More options. Button. Activity indicator. In open full screen camera video. Button. You now see live video. Heading.
Hi.
Hi. Hello.
If you need a better view of things to the left or right, install the 20-degree wedge. Install wedge. Button. Next. Button.
Next.
Back. Button. More options. Button. Camera on. Heading. A green light will turn on or remain on whenever your camera is active in processing or recording video. Next. Button.
Next.
Back. Button. More options. Live viewing. Heading. When the light on your camera is blinking green, a home member is viewing live video. Next button.
It's nice to know.
Back. Yep.
More options. Button. Choose whether you want to turn on video history. Heading. Your Nest doorbell comes with 3 hours of event video history, which can record events based on what your camera detects. Depending on local laws, you may need to display a notice that recording is in progress. When disabled, you will see live video only. Person detection and package detection will also be turned on when you turn on video recording. You can turn them off in settings. Video recording. Switch button. On.
So we want this on.
Next.
It's on by default.
More options. Adjust your mic settings. Heading. When audio recording is off, the microphone still lets you hear live audio, but it won't be saved to your history. Microphone. Switch button. Off. Double tap to tap on.
We want that on.
Audio recording. Switch button. Off.
We want that on.
Next.
And next.
Choose whether you want to turn on visitor announcements. Heading. Your Google Assistant enables speakers and displays can announce when a visitor rings your Nest doorbell. They can even announce them by name if you have Nest Aware and you've saved your visitor's name in your familiar faces. Visitor announcements. Switch button. Off. Double tap on. Next. Button. Back. Button. More options. But choose a spoken language. Heading. This is the language your doorbell will speak if you use a pre-recorded quick responses when someone is at the door. Dansk. Button. Deutsch. But English. AU. Button. English. UK. Button. Selected. English. US. Button. Espanol. ES. Next.
So I go next.
Next. Back. Button.
It was already selected.
Stay in the know. Heading. Stay up to date on Google's hardware products and related features, services, and offers. Plus receive invitations to help improve Google hardware. Emails will be sent to... No thanks. Button. Sign up.
Whatever.
Sign. Getting your device ready. Heading. More options. Button. Getting your device ready. Heading. Back. Button. More options. You're all set. Heading. Done. Button. Done. Button.
Done.
Devices. Account and settings. Dolphin. Button. Dining room. Heading. Characters. Headings. Front door. Heading. Front door doorbell. Button. Google Home. Now. Doorbell. Front door. Time sensitive.
Someone's in the front door doorbell.
Google Home. Now. Doorbell. Front door. Attachment. Time sensitive.
So you can go in there for more things.
Right.
Close front door. Button.
Oh.
More options. Button.
I think we're watching live.
We are.
Hello.
Hello.
62% battery power. No. More options. Button. 62% battery power. Not charging. Button. Camera on. Showing live stream. Today.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm at your door. I'm holding the doorbell.
2:10 p.m. Middle dot 22 seconds. Button. Person event. 2:09 p.m. Middle dot 38 seconds.
That's me. I'm a person.
Yeah, but we don't know who that is.
Person event. 2:08 p.m. Middle dot 37 seconds. Button. Person event, 2:08 p.m. Middle dot 30 seconds.
Oh, maybe it is you.
Selected. Person event, 2:08 p.m. Middle dot 30 seconds.
Who knows what this thing is seeing?
Person event, 2 doorbell, middle dot package scene event, 2:03 p.m. Middle dot 42 seconds. Button.
It's seen a package somewhere.
Doorbell, middle dot package scene event, 2:03 p.m.
So I guess we're done for now.
Thank you for coming along with us. We'll see what happens moving forward.
More on this doorbell adventure and our final decision in an upcoming episode.
Now that you've learned a little about our Google experience, let's take you back. Chris said we had a couple reminders in this episode, and here's one of them for you. You may remember from a couple episodes back, Chris told you a little story about a brilliant.
I did.
We have a sequel.
So the sequel and the, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story.
We just dated ourselves, but okay.
Exactly. Who's Paul Harvey? Now, we ended up disputing this brilliant because it really was a piece of junk. The eBay seller was talking about how wonderful it was and how you could use it for all these fun things. And it was used. And eBay's terms of service says that if it's used, it has to be functional.
It can have cosmetic damage, but it must be functional.
It must be functional.
To be called used. Otherwise, my understanding is you need to either change it to something else, so like open box or new or, you know, for parts only or whatever in your description. So you have to use something that is more honest about how it works.
What the condition of it is.
What the condition of it actually is.
Sure. So I end up calling eBay because it did say that no returns accepted.
And this was an instance where a phone call was faster.
Right.
Not always that way, but in this instance, the phone call was much faster.
Right. So I explained to the person at eBay why I was complaining about it. If it was one or two cells, I could care less. I would have gotten it fixed, but it wasn't. Most of, if not all of, and I'm not going to say all of, but most of the dots in the top portion of cell, dots 1 and 4, either didn't work or were very faint.
I would easily say a third of the cells.
Uh-huh. So that's a problem. You can't read the display. How are you supposed to use it?
Exactly. And this guy would not listen to that at all. He was condescending. He was rude. He just wasn't listening to anything we had to say.
One thing that he did, which lit a fire under me, because I wasn't sure I was going to even care about pursuing this guy.
I would have been the nagging wife.
Right. So what he ended up doing was I left him negative feedback, which, you know, you're totally at the right to leave someone negative feedback.
Because we've talked to him. We've tried to clarify the situation. We tried to come to some resolution that would work for everybody. We
right.
weren't mean about it. We weren't nasty. Nobody cussed him out. Nothing like that.
He put in his response to my negative feedback that, in the buyer's own words, quote, blah, 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 quote. Buyer never said any of that. So he took parts of my messages, and actually what he did was is he made it sound worse. He said, in the buyer's own words, only 6 of these cells were readable. Which, if you think about it, it actually sounds worse. But whatever. He was putting words in my mouth that I never said. Anyway. But to make a long story short,
the next day eBay got called.
Yeah, the next day eBay got called, and I opened up a case with them, and I told them that it says no returns, and she says, oh, we can overwrite that. So that was good. So basically, to make a long story short, we won the dispute, and the Brilliant is on its way back to the seller. It actually was delivered yesterday.
Yep, and within 3 business days, we receive our funds.
Right. So we'll see.
We'll see how it goes. As far as we're concerned, though, it's resolved at this point. In fact, his rep, who was amazing. He got an amazing rep when he called. And he had her on speakerphone, so I was listening to their conversation, and at the end of it, she said, consider this resolved.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So that was really cool. That's a really nice thing to know that we may have made a stupid error in ordering from this guy in the first place, but at least we got it resolved and we're not out anything other than a hard lesson and some time.
Right. So, word of warning. Make sure that whatever you buy from eBay, if it's an electronic or some kind of assistive technology, make sure you read all about it. And if it says no returns accepted, I probably will not buy it.
Yeah, absolutely. And read the person's feedback first. It's something I always recommend doing because, let me give you an example. In this guy's feedback, people would write him and say, now, this is other people, not us. People would write him and say, great item, good price, blah, blah. And he would say, for the best prices on eBay, go to the Real Braille Experts.
Or whatever they were.
Whatever they were. He did not thank them. He was not appreciative. Nothing like that. He was just boosting his own already far too inflated ego, as far as I'm concerned. That's my opinion, but I don't mind sharing it in the least. So please just proceed with caution in terms of buying any kind of assistive technology from anybody, but on eBay as well, because sometimes you don't know what you're going to get. If you're willing to take the risk, okay, fine. I've had one really bad experience on eBay, but it was a risk I was willing to take for the price. The product worked, but it only partially worked. It was an embosser that I got, and it did not do Interpoint, which it was supposed to. And so eventually I ended up just selling it.
But they told you that they didn't know.
They said something like, we didn't test it, but it is in cosmetic perfect shape. That's what the listing said. I was willing to take the risk for the price. It was $1,000, and I just bought it. This was well over a decade ago. The other experience I had was some software that I bought. I won't say the name of the company, but I bought some software that was $999, and I got it for less than $250. And it came shrink-wrapped in the box. So, truly awesome experience. And in that situation, again, the seller really didn't know what they were selling, but they knew what it was, and it came shrink-wrapped in the box. So I saved $700 almost on that and used it for years.
So your mother recently lost something, right?
Yes, she did. My mother lost a password.
Her Wi-Fi password, to be exact.
Her Wi-Fi password, to be exact.
She ended up getting a new iPad, and she couldn't get on her internet.
She had it written down.
Wrong?
Because, yeah, it was written down, but it was written down wrong. Because it was a bunch of capitalizations and numbers and, you know, all the things you do in a password. And she had it written down wrong, so she couldn't get in.
So, of course, we decided, how can we help her? And we weren't sure if we added punctuation marks into it. We weren't sure what we did the last time we were there.
Because the last time we were there, Chris set her up a new router.
Right, and we used the same password she had for the old router. Mm-hmm. Apparently, she had it written down wrong. So how do you get a password from a router that you can't access? So this is just a story for one thing for you to keep in mind, that when we were there, we were connected with our iPhones, possibly Android devices. And one of the things that these things do now is they save your connected Wi-Fi connections. So if you're connected to it once before, you may be able to get the password from your device. And I was doing a little bit of research, and anything I found online said you had to be connected to it.
You had to be in range.
Right. And we found out that that's not the case. So if you have an older password and you have like an iPhone or an Android device or a Windows device, you can go into settings.
Shall I show them?
Just don't show them my password.
Okay, I'm going to unlock my phone. Okay, I'm on the home screen of my phone now that I've unlocked it. And I'm going to say, open settings.
Settings, screen time button.
I'm going to go to the top.
Group, Rose 1, settings, heading. Search, search, dictate, button. Kim Nova, up, family, button. Airplane mode, Wi-Fi, off, button.
Now, my Wi-Fi is currently turned off. That's another story, but we're going to leave that off. We're going to go in here, though, into Wi-Fi settings.
Wi-Fi, switch button, off.
And we're going to go to the left.
Edit, button.
There is your magic thing, the edit button. So you go into this edit button.
Edit. User authentication.
We're going to again go to the top
try
of the
again.
Screen.
Alert, oh. Face not recognized.
I gotta recognize with my Face ID.
Try Face ID again. Button. Face ID authenticated.
Because it's such a sensitive place for you to be, because you can retrieve passwords. So you have to authenticate with some kind of either fingerprint or Face ID or PIN or what have you.
Yes.
Lotus Dreamer. So. Button. Cancel. Button.
So I'm at the top.
Cancel. Button.
That'll take me out of there.
Wi-Fi. Heading. Done. Dimmed. Button.
There's your done.
No networks.
Now, no networks.
Aries button.
So this actions is Aries, available. For instance. And it says actions available.
Barb 0915 button.
And there's Barb 0915. My mom is the Barb of the Barb 0915. And this is her Wi-Fi. So if I were to go in here.
Barb 0915.
I'm now going to go to the right.
Lotus Dreamer button. Ooh. Actions available. Barb 0915 button.
Okay. So this is where I screwed up. Instead of activating.
Delete.
You'll use your actions. So I flick down to delete.
More info.
Down again to more info and double tap that.
Forget this network.
So I have some options.
Wi-Fi, back button.
I went to the top of the screen. I can go back from here.
Bar 0915, heading.
There's her name, her SSID.
Forget this network.
I can forget it.
Auto join, switch button on.
I can choose whether or not to auto join, which I want on for this instance.
Password.
If I go in here, it's going to show me the password. And I will be able to copy it. So we're going to censor this, obviously, in production, but I'm going to double tap this.
Password. Copy. Menu item.
It gave the password. I'm able to move to words or characters and spell it. Make sure I know what's capitalized, what's not. And it puts you on copy. So if I double tap.
Copy. Menu item.
I can now paste it anywhere else I want to go. So if I.
Screen language. Speaking words. Characters. Headings. Screen record language.
Oop,
English.
I can't do it from here.
Speaking rate. Words.
But if I'm somewhere else, I'll show you in a second. I'll be able to paste it.
Copy. Menu item.
So there's what I can do right there.
Copy. Menu. Copy. Menu. Password. Auto join. Switch button on.
So I'm going to go back to the right.
Password. Low data mode. Switch button off.
And I've got other things here I can do. I've got low data mode.
Low data mode helps reduce your iPhone data usage over your cellular network or specific Wi-Fi networks you select. When low data mode is turned on, automatic updates and background tasks, such as photo syncing, are paused.
See, I wish I would have known that when I was gone a couple years ago when the background updates chewed my precious cellular data to nothing.
Yes.
Private Wi-Fi address. Switch button on.
There's private Wi-Fi, which is on in this case.
Wi-Fi address.
There's the Wi-Fi address.
Using a private address helps reduce tracking of your iPhone across different Wi-Fi networks. Limit IP address tracking. Switch button on.
Limit IP address tracking.
Limit IP address tracking by hiding your IP address from known trackers in Mail and Safari. IPv4 address. Heading.
IPv4.
Configure IP. Automatic. Button. DNS. Heading. Configure DNS. Automatic. Button. HTTP proxy. Heading. Configure proxy. Off. Button.
Most of this you're not going to touch.
Configure proxy. Off. Button.
And that's what's in there. So I can back out of here.
Group. Rows 2 to Wi-Fi. Back button. Wi-Fi. Bar 0915. Button.
So we're back to her, and then there's all my other networks here, some of which I can get rid of because I no longer have them. Let's back out again.
Cancel. Button.
With this cancel.
Cancel. Settings. Back button. Wi-Fi. Heading.
I'm back in my Wi-Fi settings.
Edit. Button.
I'm just going to go home, though, from here.
Beautiful me folder.
And.
Headings. Language. Speaking
record. I can't do it in here. So I'm going to open. Open notes.
Tool. Notes. One note. Button. Exchange. But notes. No notes. Button. Toolbar. New note. Button.
So I've gone down to add a new note.
New note. Note. Text field. Is editing.
And if I move now to edit.
Character. Words. Lines. Text selection. Speaking rate. Sixth language. English. Headings. Screen record. Edit.
In my rotor, I could go down and.
Paste.
Paste. If I double tap that, that will paste that copied password for her network into my note.
Right. So you could email that to somebody should you want to. Or you could spell it, or you could save it. You know, there's a number of things that you can do. But the cool thing is that as long as you are once connected to that network, you can get the password, which is very, very cool. I've seen passwords from conventions.
Yeah, hotels.
That I've gone to that have been safely tucked away in the thing. Kim had my password to my old iPhone SE 2020 sitting in there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of fun.
And you can do this on Android. It works the same way, essentially.
Yeah, you go to your saved networks, you find your network, and then apparently if you have a barcode, it's right under the barcode. So just a reminder that if there's a will, there's a way. You could find a way, and then we gave her her password, and she was able to connect to her internet using her new iPad.
And she was very excited about it.
She was.
We were going to talk to you this week about something I alluded to in the last podcast about a really cool way to connect our electronics. We're going to save that because this has turned into a longer podcast, but we will get to that next time. No worries. If you're curious, we will get to that. We haven't forgotten it. And we will be back next time to share yet more information with you, and it will be really close to spring by the time we get back.
Just remember 22. That's all I'm going to say about the fun thing.
22. You'll understand it more when we get back to it next episode. In the meantime, have a great couple weeks. Hope the weather is getting warmer where you are. You never know in March in a lot of parts of the country, including ours, but we hope spring will soon be springing, and we wish you a fabulous couple weeks.
Bye. Bye.
The preceding podcast is a presentation of Mystic Access, where the magic is in learning. If you are blind or visually impaired and wish to experience less stress and more fun on your unique assistive technology journey, our comprehensive audio documentation and additional offerings are here to support you. We welcome your visit at mysticaccess.com. That's M-Y-S-T-I-C-A-C-C-E-S-S.com. Have a question or wish to place an order via phone? Call us at 716-543-3323. If you have comments to share about this episode, follow our phone menu prompts to reach our Mystic Access podcast comment line. Email us at info@mysticaccess.com and connect with us on social media, Mastodon, mysticaccess.online, and facebook.com/mysticaccessempower. Would you like to spread the word about our podcasts? Anyone may explore our extensive archives and subscribe to receive our bi-weekly episodes at mysticaccesspodcast.com. If you enjoy our content, please consider rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform. Thanks for spreading the word and for being a listener. We hope you enjoyed this episode.